another episode of Tap Outs and Touchdowns.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's our season 6 wrestling premiere of Tap Outs and Touchdowns. As always, it's your guy, Bully Rye, and you might see maybe a familiar face if you ever watched the Cat Cave over on the Fans First Sports Network, or if you caught his show Drop the Mic, or his show Out of Pocket, because we have a special guest to talk WrestleMania in our season 6 wrestling premiere. And that is Michael Davis. Make sure you go follow him on Instagram at @outofpocket_TRSR, at Drop the Mic Wrestling. Michael Davis is with us to talk night one, and PJ Steven will be joining us to talk night two in just a little bit. Mike, I feel like we spent way too much time with each other this week. Wouldn't you say?
I could never spend too much time with my guy, Bully Rye. I'm glad you invited me on. I've been on a few different shows talking WrestleMania. This is probably my busiest week of the year, but I'm super excited, especially when I get to hang out with you.
Yeah, listen, you're talking about busiest week of the year. It's the busiest week of the year for a lot of people. Like, you've got WrestleMania, you've got March Madness, you've got the UFL this weekend.
MLB just started last week.
Yeah, NBA. I believe you've got the Masters this weekend too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, golf.
So, literally so much going on in the world of sports. If you're watching live with us tonight, we do appreciate it. Make sure you enter comments wherever it is, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, or X, to join the conversation, because we are talking all things WrestleMania. And like I said, we're going to start off talking WrestleMania 40 night one. And listen, I don't want to screw the pooch here and get ahead of ourselves, but looking at this night one lineup, Mike, night one looks like it's going to be a lot better than night two. I don't know if this is the exact match order on the card, but let's start off here with what looks like might open up the show on night one, and that's the WWE Women's World Championship match as Rhea Ripley defends against Becky Lynch, the man Becky Lynch. First of all, Volley Polly in the chat, what's up? What's up, Volley Polly? Glad to see you here on a wrestling show. Mike, we've been watching some storyline stuff go down with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. Let's go ahead and just give us your thoughts on how they've developed this story into this WrestleMania match.
So WWE, I believe, is at the peak of the industry right now. Here's why. They have crafted these stories since last year's WrestleMania, for 2 years, even in the Bloodlines case that we'll talk about later, 4 years. They've crafted these stories, and they have intentionally kept Becky Lynch away from the title picture. So Rhea Ripley beat Charlotte Flair last year at WrestleMania in Hollywood. And over the last year, they've just built Rhea up as this dominant champion. Nobody can really touch her. Usually, it was probably earlier this year that Nia Jax actually gave Rhea Ripley a challenge just because of her physical stature. And they've kept Becky Lynch kind of away from the title picture. She had that feud with Trish Stratus in the summer. She had stuff in NXT with Tiffany Stratton, Lyra Valkyria. And now you have this first-time matchup, Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, for the women's title. I think they've built this up beautifully. They've done an incredible job, and I'm super excited. This is one of the matches where it's like it's 50-50 on who wins.
So, like, I hear you, and I know what they're doing with Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair, we thought, was the dream match we wanted to see, Bianca versus Rhea last year. So it's kind of gotten put to the side because of a match that we're gonna talk about here in a minute. But, like, I mean, I don't know what we expect to see out of this match. I mean, Rhea Ripley has had one of the best women's title reigns in the company's history at this point. Like, she's had the title for a year. Like, she's gone full calendar Mania to Mania at this point. Becky Lynch has kind of been there, done that. You mentioned she did a lot of good stuff last year. You know, we talk about, you know, wrestlers and quote-unquote part-timers getting programs, and that's what Becky Lynch got with Trish Stratus. She was able to go and elevate Tiffany Stratton, albeit taking NXT Women's Championship off of Tiffany Stratton. And like you said, giving it up to Valkyrie. So I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm excited for this match because Rhea Ripley is probably the hottest woman in the company right now. I'm not sure where they go after this match as far as with her and the Judgment Day and all that stuff. I don't know if Becky Lynch needs the win here. I don't know if she needed the match. I know she was sort of like fizzling on the roster. They weren't doing much with her. There was a cute little video montage where Kevin Owens was going to train her and she was eating like junk food in the locker room and he knocks it out of her hand and stuff. So they're doing stuff to get her involved, but she's made it clear recently that she, like, her contract is up in a couple months and nobody thinks that she's going to be the one to take the money and leave the company.
No,
you never know.
For sure.
So before we move on here, I mean, like you said, we're both excited for the match because both of these women know how to work and can tell a great story on the mic and in the ring. So Mike, who you got winning this match? You got Rhea Ripley retaining, or does Becky Lynch become once again? I wish she wouldn't be two belt Becky, but she be the once again the women's champion here at WrestleMania.
So as I mentioned, this match is one of those 50-50 coin flips on who wins. You said Becky doesn't need the win. I think Becky deserves the win, and here's why. 5 years ago, she had her big WrestleMania moment, you know, holding the titles up. I'll drop an article on FFSN later on this week, sharing that moment of WrestleMania. But, dude, the work she did outside of the title picture with Trish Stratus, with elevating Tiffany Stratton, with elevating Lyra Valkyria, with helping reintroduce Nia Jax to the roster – like, Becky's put in the hard work to get back to this point. And in my opinion, she doesn't need this, but she deserves it. And I think WWE gives it to her because who else is going to beat Rhea Ripley right now?
I mean, that's a good point. But it could just be Jade Cargill's time to eventually knock off Rhea Ripley. I know she's on the SmackDown. I know she's on the SmackDown roster right now, but we've talked about all these different streaks with title reigns being broken over the last year. You know, you're going to have Roman Reigns approaching Hulk Hogan's record. You've got Gunther already have, breaking the record of the Honky Tonk Man, going into last WrestleMania, the Usos had the longest reigning tag title reign in WWE history. So I've got this weird feeling that they're going to continue this reign for Rhea Ripley. And it'll be interesting to see where they go. I mean, there's a lot of women on the roster now that you can put her in programs with and continue to elevate them despite putting Rhea Ripley over. So I like Rhea Ripley to retain here at WrestleMania. Next up on this card, we've got the Intercontinental Championship. I just mentioned that a second ago as Gunther defends against Sami Zayn. Some fun storyline going in here. Sami Zayn won a qualifying match to win this match at WrestleMania. The funny thing was that Chad Gable's shoulders were not down in that pinfall, and now Chad Gable's come out and he's got this like Rocky montage where Chad Gable is trying to get him ready to go and take the title off of Gunther, the record holding longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in WWE history. The Ring General, Gunther. Mike, what do you think? What do you think about this match? How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the build? Who wins this match?
So it's interesting because you just mentioned that Becky doesn't need the win over Rhea. Sami doesn't need this win over Gunther. I mean,
he does.
No, he does not.
Oh yeah, he does.
Dude,
yeah,
he got the pinnacle of his wrestling career last year when he was in the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. With his best friend Kevin Owens ending the Usos' longest tag team title reign in history. That was his moment. That was his crowning achievement. Sami Zayn does not need the Intercontinental title. Honestly, it'd probably be a downgrade for Sami Zayn to become Intercontinental champion again. Okay, somebody else needs to be built up to beat Gunther eventually. Now, WrestleMania is obviously a good time to end a streak and, you know, start a new title reign. But honestly, I would love to see Gunther retain his title and hold this probably through Bash at the Berlin and maybe do a title versus title. And if Drew McIntyre probably wasn't on the hottest streak of his career, then it should be Gunther wrestling Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 40. I said that a couple months ago, and I stand by it, even though Drew has changed my mind. He's done a great job with that build, which I'm sure you and PJ will talk about a little later on in the show. But, dude, Sammy doesn't need this win. It would do better for Gunther to retain his title.
Listen, despite your points, I think that arguably Sammy does need this win. Yeah, I think that Sammy does. Like he finally had his moment winning the tag titles at Mania, but he doesn't have a singles win. I mean, yeah, he's a former Intercontinental Champion in his own right, but he doesn't have that singles individual championship win at WrestleMania. And if you think back years ago, where WWE doesn't mention his name, but Chris Benoit won the world title the same night that Eddie Guerrero won the WWE title, and they got to go in the ring and celebrate together. You may have a night one Sami Zayn win, and then night two Kevin Owens wins the United States Championship. And so they have their own little moment where they won the tag titles last year. Now they get to be best friends and win the quote-unquote mid-card titles at the same WrestleMania. So listen, that'd be nice. The more I think about it, the more I think Gunther's retaining because they've got the battle in Berlin or whatever it's called in a few months. I think that Gunther goes in to that show as your Intercontinental Champion and perhaps doesn't lose it until SummerSlam, because I think next year, next WrestleMania, Gunther will be challenging someone for the world title, whether it's Cody Rhodes or otherwise. Gunther will be in the world title match at WrestleMania next year, which doesn't mean that he has to lose the Intercontinental title here. I'm with you. Give me Gunther to win this match as well. One of the matches I'm actually looking forward to most, and it's one of the wordiest matches that there are. And real quick, just a reminder, anybody joining in live to watch the show with us tonight, leave a comment, whether you're watching on Facebook, X, or YouTube, leave a comment and join the conversation, because we're talking and we're going through the entire card, WrestleMania night one and two, and we want you to be a part of our conversation. So next up on night one is the six-pack ladder match for the WWE, I guess you could call them the Undisputed Tag Team Championships, because Michael Cole had a little drop on Monday that we'll get to here in a second, where we could potentially see a title split that we've all been kind of hankering for over the last several months. You've got the Judgment Day, Finn Balor and Damian Priest defending their tag team titles against the teams of the Awesome Truth, DIY, New Day, A-Town Down Under, and New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne. And of course, I can't think of the other guy's name. Help me out here.
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne.
Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, yes. So, yeah, we got a lot of people in watching this video with us tonight over on X. Make sure you join the conversation and leave a comment over on X so we can join and we can all talk about it together. Mike, I don't remember seeing a six-team tag team ladder match. The closest we got to this before was the Fatal Elimination Four-Way.
Chamber.
Well, no, I was thinking at WrestleMania, it was a Fatal Four-Way ladder match where the Hardy Boys returned. And there were a lot of internet wrestling fans that were hoping that like the Hardys or the Dudleys would come back, neither of which need to happen. Devon Dudley cannot take bumps anymore. Really, Matt and Jeff shouldn't be. Jeff is still under contract with AEW. So we've got the right teams here. We actually talked about this on your wrestling podcast, Drop the Mic. Was it today, yesterday, whenever it was, we talked about it, about the potential for a tag title split and in general, like who they would go to. Mike, why don't you go into that detail a little bit and explain how the tag titles can split as far as what Michael Cole said on Monday Night Raw.
Dude, I had so much fun explaining this on Drop the Mic. I believe that was yesterday. Dude, again, busiest week, all these days just like clumped together, and I absolutely love it. But yeah, I'm really expecting them to hammer home, because if you've noticed, over the last year and a half, nearly 2 years after the Usos unified these titles, beating Randy Orton and Matt Riddle, RK-Bro, that shows you how long it's been. It was before Orton's back injury and while Matt Riddle was still with the company. They've been calling these the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles, and they've been carrying around both sets. But this past Monday on Raw, Michael Cole made the first distinction that this is for the Raw and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, and the match is not over until both sets of titles have been retrieved. So hear me out, okay? When we're talking about WrestleMania moments, Sami Zayn's already had his, Becky Lynch has already had hers, but Awesome Truth need their WrestleMania moment, particularly R-Truth. R-Truth is doing some of the best character work at 55 years old. 55. That's all my fingers. And then some. Okay? 55 years old. And anytime he is on TV, he makes you laugh. He makes serious characters break character and chuckle a little bit. Dude, how great would it be if the match is coming to a close and R-Truth, who is afraid of ladders, climbs up the ladder and pulls down the Raw tag team titles, climbs back down, so excited, hands Miz one of them and saying, look, we're the new Raw tag team champions. And the Miz is like, you forgot the other set. You have to go get the other tag team titles. And by the time they look up, who better than Austin Theory or Grayson Waller to be grabbing the SmackDown tag team titles? Like, this is picture perfect. This is beautifully scripted. I am expecting royalties in my mailbox as WWE has listened to all the content I've put out on Tobacco Road Sports Radio this week and my guest appearance on Mouthing Off with Mike. And this is perfect. This is beautiful. Ryan, this might be my favorite idea that I have ever had.
Listen, I can't disagree with you, right? Like, the idea of our, first of all, a few years ago when R-Truth said he was arachnophobic and they were making fun of him on commentary, he is afraid of spiders. That's what it is. And instead of whatever it is, the fear of heights or the fear of spiders, whatever the case is, or ladders, whatever the case is. Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I think this is the prime time to split the tag titles up. And I love the way that you're going with it as far as how they lose how they only get the Raw tag titles. For that matter, I think that regardless of how it happens, I think Awesome Truth win the Raw tag team titles. And I think either A-Town Down Under or New Catch Republic win the SmackDown tag titles, primarily because they're the ones that are, you know, rostered on SmackDown. My biggest hope is, and we've talked about this on Drop the Mic as well, that after WrestleMania, they get rid of these like coin type title belts, the ones that look like a giant quarter or prior to that look like a giant penny. And we get some new tag titles, and like the SmackDown and Raw Women's Championships, they make them the WWE and the World Tag Team titles once again. So not only split them, we get all new tag title belts as a result. So it'll be interesting to see how this happens. I've got a feeling this match is going to last for a little while, and we're going to get to see a lot of action in here. So interesting to see what happens here. Reminder, wherever it is that you're watching the show, because we have a lot of viewers tonight over on X, probably more than we've ever had for any show on X. Leave a comment or X tweet, whatever you want to call it, and join the conversation and so we can talk about WrestleMania 40 together. Mike, next match on the card is the one that I'm looking forward to most between both nights of WrestleMania. It's the Uso versus Uso, Jimmy versus Jay. This has been poetry in motion. Michael, take it away. What are your thoughts about this match?
So, again, with Becky and Rhea, they were very deliberate on how they built up this match. If you look back at last year's WrestleMania, where Dominic Mysterio wrestled his father, Rey Mysterio, when they had their beef at the end of the summer, back in 2022, they kind of hinted at Rey Mysterio's retirement, and instead, Triple H just moved Rey Mysterio to SmackDown. That kept them away from each other until the new year, and they clash again, and it leads to a WrestleMania match. They have done the same recipe with the Usos. When Jey Uso left the Bloodline and he actually quit WWE until Cody Rhodes reintroduced him and got him to come to Monday Night Raw via a trade, and it worked. And now they were the 1 and 2 entrants at the Royal Rumble, and that's where this brother-sibling rivalry rekindled. And dude, I think they've done a really good job of building this. And when it comes to a winner, dude, I think you gotta go main event Jey Uso, living up to his name having that big singles win. But do not be surprised if Jay and Jimmy don't hug it out after this match, just almost breaking kayfabe in a way of acknowledging, hey, we're twin brothers, and we're the only twin brothers in history to wrestle each other at WrestleMania, the third blood brother rivalry match at WrestleMania. I mean, we're not going to count Undertaker and Kane, but
yeah,
you could.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to your point, Volley Polly comes in the chat. The younger brother won at X when Owen beat Brett, and the older brother won at WrestleMania 25. So, yeah, I wish you could say one of them is the older or younger. They're twins, so we're talking about minutes apart here. Listen, I want to go on record of saying, like, this is probably – we talked about the bloodline and the payoff that we got with this long burn for the bloodline storyline as a whole. When they split up the Usos officially last summer, I made a point then that they were going to find a way to keep Jimmy and Jay apart because we didn't want to get to this point too soon. And to WWE's credit, they kept Jimmy and Jay apart until the Royal Rumble when they entered in as number one and number two. And we officially got to see the preview of what we're going to see this weekend. I'll go on record to say that this match should open up WrestleMania. I don't know, like right now, if you go to like Wikipedia, I don't think WWE has like a match card anywhere. But if you go to the Wikipedia page, WrestleMania 40, it's got the matches listed out. And we've gone in that order here on this show. And they've got Jimmy.
Also, Becky wants to open WrestleMania. That's what she said. So I believe that's the route they're going with this. But why isn't this match moved to night two and opening night two?
Because you've got the world title match on opening night two. You got both of the world. Listen, I'm with you. I think they should push it back to night two. I think you should have them open up night two. You know, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because we're going to talk about it here in a little while. But night one's card, again, is to me infinitely better than night two's card. I don't care that you're getting the two world title matches on night two. Like, the rest of the card is, you know, it's underwhelming at best.
I would push back on that. I feel like for the first time ever, both nights are stacked. And there's a reason you should be watching both nights of this WrestleMania. This could be the greatest WrestleMania of all time, Ryan.
Oh, potential. It has the potential, but every WrestleMania has that potential until it doesn't. You go back and watch some of the old WrestleManias. Some of the old WrestleManias weren't all that good. So nevertheless, as far as Jimmy and Jay goes, again, I said this on Drop the Mic as well. Jimmy still never really got that punishment for the last DUI that he suffered in the middle of the bloodline's beginning. And I think it continues here. I think his punishment is being forced to lose to his twin brother, Jay. I'm with you. I think they hug it out because I think it ties into the extended bloodline storyline post WrestleMania with Jimmy and Jay getting back together. I don't know if Jimmy Jimmy joins the light side. It's if you're a fan of like of the pictures of how they sort of put out Easter eggs. If you even think of Star Wars, lightsabers, blue and green are the ones that the Jedi use. Red is the color of the Sith. So if you look here, every time that you've seen him on TV, even though Jimmy's over on SmackDown and Jay's on Raw, Jay is always wearing blue in his blue Yeet shirt, and Jimmy's always in the like the full body red as the clear-cut bad guy. So again, everything about this, I'm here for, and I think this match, barring some like interference from some people that we may or may not expect, I think this match could steal both nights. I'm thoroughly looking forward to this match with Jimmy and Jey Uso. Let's kind of skip through this. I don't want to say skip through it. Let's kind of push through this here. A match that was made last week is you sort of saw the writing on the wall here between Bianca Belair and Naomi, sort of going back and forth about feeling for Bayley and having sympathy for Bayley despite the damage control turning on them, because from what Naomi was saying, Bayley had it coming. And damage control continued to wreak havoc on both Bianca and Naomi until Jade Cargill last Friday on SmackDown officially signed as part of the SmackDown roster. And as the two of them were getting beat down by damage control, here comes Jade Cargill. And there's an iconic photo with all three of them pointing at the WrestleMania sign. It led to this match. Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill taking on damage control. The women's tag team titles are not on the line at this year's WrestleMania because they are involved in a 6-woman tag team match. Michael, give us your thoughts.
And there's a reason why we're blowing past this, because of all the matches at WrestleMania, this is the one where you can almost guarantee who wins.
Yeah.
It's Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. Like, hopefully this sets up something in the future between Jade, Naomi, and Bianca. Maybe they push for Jade to be a heel, even though she's brand new. I really don't want to turn Bianca Belair heel tonight or this weekend. But dude, they're winning. Like, this is like the easiest call of all the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Jade Cargill goes over. It's her first official match, not the Royal Rumble, on WrestleMania. So yeah, I think it's pretty set in stone that Cargill goes over. And personally, I want to see a tag team run with her and Bianca. Like, I wanted it when they announced that she first got signed, I wanted to see them win tag titles. Like, it just makes sense. Two of the strongest women in WWE are involved in this match.
So, do you believe this 6-women tag match is a way for Belair, Naomi, and Cargill to win to set up on the following week of, you know, Mania, either on Raw or SmackDown, for them to challenge for the women's tag titles?
Yeah. And the irony is that one could argue that Naomi should be the partner for Jade Cargill. But the reason Naomi left in the first place was because they weren't properly utilizing the women's tag team championships and gave up that tag title to go over to TNA for a while. So yeah, it's interesting that, like, not only is that being, you know, potentially being set up here, but she's in a match with the women's tag team championship or champions
not being defended
at WrestleMania. It's just, the irony is not lost on me. So yeah, I say I'm interested to see this match. You know who's going to win? As many women are involved in this match, I think this is going to be close to a squash as you're going to be able to get on the show. Cargill is going to get the pin. I don't know who is going to be over. More than likely, it's going to be over Dakota, if I had to guess. But nevertheless, they go over. A match that was added late last week, the LWO with their brand new member Dragon Lee, teaming up with Rey Mysterio, who returned about a month or so ago from injury. They're going to take on the team of Santos Escobar from Legado del Fantasma and the son of Rey Mysterio, Dominic Mysterio. Listen, I don't know what more you can do with this. We've already seen Rey against Dom in a tag team match. We've seen him go one-on-one. I feel like this was sort of like hastily thrown together just to get the Mysterios involved. Not to mention, this has sort of caused a rift within Judgment Day. Like, Judgment Day is like, Dominic, what are you doing? I didn't realize you were a member of Legado del Fantasma. And then they bring them backstage in a backstage segment and sort of like let them intermingle like some sort of weird super group, like the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Mike, I don't know really how to think and feel about this match. I've got a feeling that Santos and Dom go over. But how do you feel about the LWO and the direction they're taking with Legado del Fantasma?
Ryan, you mentioned that this match was thrown together, and I couldn't disagree with you more. Everything WWE is doing has a purpose behind it. Okay. So there are several different stories to move here. I would not be surprised if Friday on SmackDown, tomorrow night, we get Carlito and Andrade added to this to make it a 6-man tag team match. I would not be surprised. Carlito and Andrade, those talents, and not being utilized on WrestleMania after they just came back to the company. Carlito last year at Backlash, and then a few months later, full-time, and then Andrade at the beginning of the year. I feel like they could be added to this. Now, Rey and Dom wrestled last year, and Rey and Dom are in a tag team match this year. I feel like they're going to set up Rey Mysterio's retirement next year at WrestleMania, having a trilogy between Rey and Dom, maybe a mask on the line or a career on the line. Hair on the line if Dom still got his ugly mullet.
Eddie Guerrero mullet, yeah.
Yeah, so this wasn't just thrown together. I think this is going to be an exciting match, especially Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar have proven they can go. If you add Andrade and Carlito kind of as those powerhouse luchas, I mean, this could be a fun match. So don't overlook this match.
Yeah, listen, I kind of hoped at some point that And maybe it sets it up here that Ray and Dom sort of reconcile. And maybe he gets dropped from Judgment Day to Dom and join Legado del Fantasma for a while. And they sort of transition this rivalry into an eventual, I don't know, again, reconciliation with Dom and Ray, and potentially a tag team match at next WrestleMania, to where they're teaming together one final time. Like, we've had them team together and win tag titles. We've had them go one-on-one. So, yeah, I mean, I think the possibilities are endless for where they take this. But I'm still going Santos and Dom for the win here at WrestleMania Night 1, which brings us to the main event of Night 1. If you have been living under a rock and not watching professional wrestling over the last 3 months, shame on you. I don't care if, like, you DVR it or you catch the highlights. You need to be watching this stuff. Because, quite frankly, this has been some of the best work of The Rock's career. And I'm talking, like, I'm talking Nation of Domination Rock. I'm talking corporate Rock with the $500 shirts and all that stuff. I'm talking when he you know, became that baby face, and then he turned heel when he went to Hollywood and came back. This is some of the best work that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has ever done. So the main event features Roman Reigns and The Rock taking on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the championship on Night 2. And if Rock and Reigns win, then it will be Bloodline rules come Night 2 in the main event. Again, man, dude, there's been some fun stuff with The Rock just absolutely laying down expletives on TV. Like, they don't, like, the censors don't know what to do in WWE behind the scenes. You know, originally this was set up where we were going to get Rock versus Roman. That was what everybody was talking about. We talked about it with Desmond Johnson, producer of Tobacco Road Sports Radio, producer of the Cat Cave. And he was certain that we were going to get Rock versus Roman. And it looked like that until the internet wrestling community decided to go absolutely crazy and change the rules here. And now we get Rock acknowledging Roman Reigns as his tribal chief and the Bloodline going into this tag team match. Michael, what are your thoughts on main event for Night 1 at WrestleMania 40?
This is the one match that I can look back on with drop the mic, out of pocket, tonight tap outs and touchdowns, mouthing off with Mike. Dude, there's so many shows I've been on. And I don't think I've picked a winner outright for this match because I have absolutely no idea where it's leading. Okay. And I'm dropping a predictions on Fans First Sports Network later this week. I still don't know who I'm going to predict for this match because you could see it going both ways. You could see all the members of the Bloodline being barred from ringside, but a non-Bloodline member costing Cody Night 2. You could see Bloodline rules happening for Night 2, and that allows the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena and all of these guys to come out to try to help offset the Bloodline. It's crazy. It's insane. I'm just going to sit back on this match and just watch as a fan because the fact that we're getting The Rock in the main event of WrestleMania with Roman Reigns means, A, we're getting The Rock on weekly television now, and B, this won't be the last match that The Rock has. And I, as a kid who grew up on The Rock and was The Rock was my favorite wrestler when I was like super, super small. And then, you know, I watched Edge win Money in the Bank and then I became an Edgehead. And then it all sprouted from there. I am so excited that at 25 years old, I get to watch The Rock actually wrestle a match in the main event of WrestleMania, even if it's in the Eagles Stadium. And I cannot hear a word you're saying right now.
My friend PJ Steven could not disagree with you more. I know he can
disagree because he's wrong, and that's okay.
He's not a fan of part timers. Listen,
he's not. Whoa! Can we disrupt this? There's no part timer in this main event. Roman Reigns is not your typical part time champion. I wrote about it on Fans First how he's not a Goldberg or Lesnar. There's a storyline each and every week. The Rock has come back, and The Rock said to Nick Khan that he didn't want to come off come for this one-off and, you know, enter and leave. The Rock has been a part of the WrestleMania build week in, week out, being on every SmackDown except the one I went to in Charlotte. He's been on a few Raws. Like, he is not a part-timer, and he's not leaving after this WrestleMania. He's going to be part of the WWE story for the next year. He's not a part-timer. Sorry, PJ.
So was Brock Lesnar a part-timer, even though he was on TV every week leading up to his last match in WWE?
He wasn't on every week, though.
He was on every week.
He was not on every week.
One of his last runs in WWE, he was on like every week. Whether he was on Raw or SmackDown.
Is this the Cowboy Brock?
Yeah, it was Cowboy Brock. Okay, he was there all the time, but he was still a part-timer.
But Universal Champion Beast Incarnate Brock Lesnar, who wrestled three times a year.
That's different, yeah.
The Universal title would disappear. Like, that's different. That Roman Reigns and The Rock are not part-timers right now.
We're going to have to debate this on another. We're going to have to debate this on another show because I couldn't disagree with you more. Listen, I'm with you though. As a kid growing up, I was a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, and his biggest rival was The Rock. And so, you know, again, I don't hold the same opinion as PJ Steven. When I enjoyed the match between Kevin Owens and Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 2 years ago. I still think that we get Cody and Rollins go over in this match, primarily because I think we're going to get run-ins that we don't expect to get, or that maybe we expect to get, but the average wrestling fan isn't thinking about. We saw the Easter egg the night that Rock beat up Cody Rhodes after Monday Night Raw, and there was a truck outside that had pictures of Stone Cold Steve Austin and John Cena, two of the most recent rivals for The Rock. They could potentially be involved to prevent the bloodline from taking the win away from Cody and Seth. I think Cody and Seth win this match. And spoiler alert, it's because I think they both lose in night two. And so they get the win on night one to go over and lose on night two.
That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
Yeah, I love this. I love this match. I love the build. Some of the best work that WWE has done, some of the best work that The Rock has ever done, some of the best work that any of these guys have ever done. Great storytelling here. Mike, I got to get PJ Steven on, but real quick, before we let you go, final predictions. Who's your match of the night for night one? And we've already talked about Cena and Austin. Do we get any other surprises on night one?
I would love to see Stone Cold as a surprise. I think Tama Tonga might be a surprise. Night two, actually. I feel like that's the night that the surprises come. And maybe Team 3D, maybe the Dudley Boys come out for the ladder match, if nothing else, for a 3D on like a Grayson Waller or an Austin Theory. That's not out of the picture since it is in Philadelphia. But the match I'm most looking forward to is probably the ladder match, because like this could be R-Truth's moment. There's nobody in WWE that's more deserving than this moment, who's worked harder for this moment. And it's super exciting. I'm glad you're kicking me out before PJ gets in, because we would we'd get into a 20-minute argument about that part-timer take, because he's so...
No, I'm right there with you. Make sure, guys, first of all, Mike, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and doing this. You know, I say again, we've spent a lot of time with each other this week. Guys, if you're on the show for the first time, you've never seen Michael Davis, make sure you go and follow him on Instagram at @outofpocket_TRSR and at @DropTheMicWrestling. He's got a couple of shows alongside our show, The Cat Cave, that you can find over on the Fans First Sports Network. But make sure he's writing a bunch for the Fans First Sports Network. He's writing sports articles. He did an article about Stephon Gilmore this week. He's talking wrestling on the website. So make sure you go over to www.fansfirstsports.com and check out all the writing that Michael has been doing over there. Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here, and I'm sure I'll see you soon.
I appreciate you. I'm going to hop out of the studio, and I'm just going to watch you guys do your magic and see how wrong PJ is. So,
well, I appreciate it. That being said, everybody, please welcome back to the show my wrestling show co-host, PJ Steven, is back. And I don't know if you call him better than ever, but he's back. PJ, what's up, bud?
Oh, I don't feel better than ever after listening to that hogwash. Oh, my God. But it is so good to be back. I'm so happy to see Michael Davis on my screen again. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see Michael Davis on my screen again. I guess it's good to see Frick too, I suppose. Love it.
Yeah.
Love the conversation you guys were having. I came in a little bit late. I just got off of work, ready to be here. It has been a while since we've been able to do this. And it's partially my fault after just being at work all the time and not loving myself to come home and enjoy things anymore. I have to just stay at work and live there. So
PJ
really happy
has an actual,
to be here.
He has an actual career now, guys. Like he's doing adult things. So again, so real quick, before we get started with PJ Steven, again, I think this is more X viewers, more Twitter viewers than we've ever had. So if you are watching the show live with us, we are getting into WrestleMania night two. Please leave a comment on X and join the conversation. Be a part of the conversation with us as we go and dive into what will be WrestleMania 40 night two. And we'll read your comments live on the air. We've done it a couple of times. Volley Polly's been in the chat. And I want to, you know, want to thank everybody who's been watching live with us already tonight. So PJ, let's go ahead and get into the first match here listed for WrestleMania night two. And it's the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins taking on Drew McIntyre with our friend Ahmed Beefcake as the commentary. If you're new to the show and you don't know who Ahmed Beefcake is, I suggest you go back into the archives. I'm sure you can put two and two together, but we don't mention his name on the show. And so he is affectionately known on the show as Ahmed Beefcake. They sort of hinted that he might be able to do a guest referee spot, but instead he is on commentary for this match. But listen, PJ, I don't know about you. I don't think this match is going to go the way people think it's going to go. How do you feel about this women's, this world championship match between Rollins and McIntyre? Like, how much have you gotten to watch of this lately to see this build? I think this is some of the best work McIntyre's ever done.
It is really good. The only thing I don't like about it is that Beefcake is like sticking his nose into the rivalry because they just need him to be there to earn a paycheck because he got injured in WWE's safest match. So it's one of those things where I would love to just see Drew and Seth going at it. Instead, Drew has to take his time to put his attention towards Ahmed Beefcake. However, it's been a while since I've been here. I'm a little rusty, baby. And what is it from Ready to Rumble? Traffic, baby, a little traffic. But but I will say the promo work has been pretty tremendous. It is entertaining. I do enjoy it. I just wish that there was one less person there. That being said, I could see a squash. I could see a Daniel Bryan Sheamus situation. I could see a squash because, isn't Seth still kind of injured, or is he just
he
not
was
injured?
Yeah.
So it's
that's
like
a good question.
One, it's pretty predictable. Drew McIntyre is going to go over, and I know it's the golden rule of pro wrestling is never predictable. Anything can happen. But I mean, I would eat your hat if Seth Rollins goes over on Drew at WrestleMania. I don't think there's a way it's happening. Drew McIntyre is walking out as the World Heavyweight Champion, in my opinion. That being said, I hope it's not a squash. I hope it's a really good match. These are two great competitors. But I'm thinking squash, and I'm thinking like dirty squash match.
We talked about run-ins and surprises. I don't think Rollins beats McIntyre. I don't think McIntyre leaves WrestleMania as the world champion. I think this is finally the time that Damian Priest cashes in, which is why I don't think this is a squash. I think they're going to beat the hell out of each other. And Priest will cash in and be your new world heavyweight champion. Because they keep talking about, if you've been watching the storyline for the Judgment Day, like there's all these sort of individual agendas. Like even McIntyre said about we're doing what's best for us individually or something like that on a promo a couple weeks ago. So I think that with Priest and Balor losing the tag titles on night one, I think Priest comes out and wins the world title in a cash in night two and really throws everybody for a loop. You talk about eating my hat.
I would be fine with that. I would be fine with that. By the way, I will eat your hat if Seth Rollins goes over on Drew. I'm not going to eat your hat if Damian Priest goes over. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm fine with Damian Priest going over, honestly. Wasn't there a rumor I read where Finn Balor gave Drew McIntyre a new briefcase or something? and there was a rumor that maybe the contract wasn't in there and that Finn Balor kept the contract or something. I don't know if that's real life. I think that's just speculation. Also, I think it's complete speculation that we see in the background a trailer with two part-timers on it, and we think that they're going to be in WrestleMania. I don't think the trailer is a thing. I don't think the contract and the briefcase is a thing. It would be fun, but I don't think that's a thing. I just think we reach so hardcore, and we stretch so hard, like we won't have to exercise for a full month. But that being said, I would love to see, if that happened, Finn Balor getting his title or getting a title. I mean, I think Finn Balor should still be top of the card. And in a way,
it's hard to believe he was the first ever Universal Champion and he hasn't really been in the world title picture since. Like, that's crazy.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I'm not a huge fan of Colby Lopez, otherwise known as Seth Rollins. I have been a huge fan of this McIntyre run. I think that you're going to get, because McIntyre is the guy that prevented Damian Priest from cashing in so many times. And so I think Priest is finally going to get his revenge, and he's going to be the one to cash in and take that moment from McIntyre. And bada bing, bada boom, new champion. And now it sets up a program with McIntyre and Priest for the world title going forward. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think it sets up not only McIntyre and Priest, I think it sets up Priest and Balor, an Evolution kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, Finn Balor's your leader, and you know he's going to take on Damian Priest, and Damian Priest is going to shine. Even if Finn Balor does cash in, let it go to a rivalry with Priest and Finn Balor, with Priest finally going over and being a star. Because Damian Priest, he's a hell of a talent. He's got the look. He can talk, and he could definitely move in the ring, man. I'm a big fan of Damian Priest.
I think ultimately, whatever happens, I think we start to see the downfall of the Judgment Day at WrestleMania 40 with whatever happens. I mean, imagine if Rhea Ripley loses the title, Dominic loses the tag team match, we lose the tag team titles, and then Priest is the one to come out with, you know, smelling clean at the end of it, and he's the world champion while everybody else is taking L's. So yeah, I'm curious to see what goes on with Judgment Day from here. Let's skip over the match. We'll talk about that match in a second. Let's go to this match here. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. They've been doing some fun stuff. Really felt like the broken Hardy, stuff where you have somebody going. Matter of fact, even going further back than that, when you have like Randy Orton showing up at Triple H's house or vice versa, whatever it was, there's been some real fun back and forth here with LA Knight and AJ Styles. I heard it argued earlier today on a radio show here in Greenville, the Rob Brown Show over on the Fan Upstate, where they potentially pushed LA Knight to the main event too soon. And so he had to sort of fall back. Like, he had this meteoric rise where he was white hot, and then they just threw him in the title picture, and now he's sort of come back down to earth a little bit. But listen, I don't think you can put him with a better guy to work against than AJ Styles. And so, you've got two good wrestlers, especially AJ Styles can make anybody look like $1 million, including an aged Undertaker in like a compound match at that Undertaker's last ride. PJ, what's your thoughts on LA Knight versus AJ Styles going to night two?
I know nothing of this match. I haven't seen any highlights, any promos for it. That being said, I don't need to see any of that. I don't need to see any story. I'm fine with LA Knight versus AJ Styles because they're two wrestlers that need to wrestle at WrestleMania. And I think that's a great match. I think that to your point a little bit, I could see where you're saying that. I can see what you're saying with LA Knight getting pushed up to the main event a little too soon, but when you're hot, you're hot. I mean, people argue the same, and I know you're going to defend this, and I love it because I know so much about you. People said the same thing about the Patriot getting thrown up to the main event card so quickly in 97 when he was taking on Bret Hart, just this new guy coming in, getting over like Rover because of his gimmick. And what? Why is he going against Bret Hart all of a sudden? Because he was hot. He was over. Patriot shirts are running out, baby. And I know you'll defend that because I know you're such a Patriot fan for some reason. But maybe it's because you are a Patriot. maybe just because you're in love with Kurt Angle's original theme song. But
it's because the Patriot was a Gamecock, baby.
Put him in the belt. Is that what it was?
Yeah. So, real quick, Chris Hoover over on YouTube wants to know what match are we most excited for? I talked about night one. I'm more excited than anything for Jimmy versus Jey Uso. You know, we talked about it earlier on the show, the build, the ability, everything. That's what I'm most excited for on in either night, to be honest. PJ, what say you? What's the match that you're most excited about between night one and night two?
The match I'm most excited for is Tetsuya Naito versus Yota Tsuji at Sakura Genesis.
Come on, man.
Oh, are we talking about WrestleMania? We're talking about WrestleMania. I'm sorry. We're talking about the B-League. I'm sorry. No. I love the idea of that tag match of Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Santos and Dom. That's great.
Dom, yeah.
I'm such a fan of Dragon Lee. I've been a fan of that dude for years. And to see him at WrestleMania with someone as terrific as Rey Mysterio, that's fun. I am nervous. Rey's been botching a lot lately, and it's so terrible to see because he wants to do these high-flying things and these amazing things that Rey is used to doing. And, you know, you see him the other night on SmackDown slipping over an easy move, and it's pro wrestling. Everyone slips, and everyone has mess-ups, even walking to the ring. But it's just sad to see it constantly with Rey Mysterio, and I hate to see it. But anything is going to be better than his WrestleMania feature at 35, where it was a squash match against Samoa Joe. That was sad. And I was even more sad for the kid in front of me who put on his Rey Mysterio mask for the match and 20 seconds later took it right off. So hopefully this is a better showing. If it's as good as the Rey Mysterio and Dom match as it was last year, I'm sure it'll be super fun. Add in Santos and Dragon Lee. I love it. That's the match I'm most excited for right now.
So that being said, Volley Polly back in the chat, would you argue that that has the most ability to steal the show, or is there another? No. Is there another match on the card that you think?
I don't think that steals the show. I think that so many fans are just have a hard on for the main storylines, which is, you know, Rock and Cody and Roman and then Seth with the tag match. I don't think that steals the show. Probably the latter match more likely. We'll do it. If I had to pick another one, I would throw Rhea and Becky into maybe stealing the show. I think that could be an amazing match. And honestly, I think that should be the one. I don't think the tag match should close out the show. I think it should be the women's matches, but I would definitely throw Becky and Rhea to main event night one, in my opinion.
Well, let's talk about the other women's match. We talked about Rhea and Becky in the night one. The WWE Women's Championship is on the line. Io Sky is defending against Bayley, the former leader of Damage Control. A very fun storyline. We thought that we were going to see Damage Control broken up after last year's WrestleMania, and all they did was extend the storyline a full year to bring us to this match where Io Sky is now your women's champion after winning Money in the Bank, and they turn on Bayley, sort of a Japanese Mean Girls to Bayley. And now we get this match as Bayley wins the Royal Rumble. The Bayley has done everything that you can do in WWE. She's won both the Raw and SmackDown women's titles. She's won the NXT Women's Championship. She is a tag team champion. I believe she won Money in the Bank, and she's won the Royal Rumble. I think the only thing that she has not done is win a match for the women's title at WrestleMania. PJ, I know you're a huge fan of Io Sky. What do you feel about this match between her and Bayley?
I can't wait for it. The storyline has been fun. When you talk about a Japanese Mean Girls, I just picture one of them like saying like, "Stop trying to make hugging work. Hugging is never gonna work." You know, like the whole fetch thing.
That's great.
That would be great if Bayley brought back the huggers, man. The wacky inflatable arm things for this Mania. Yeah. I would love that. I'm a big fan of Bayley as well.
Chris Hoover saying he's looking forward to the tag team ladder match as well. I just want to throw that out there.
I think everybody is. And I'm surprised, Frick, that you're looking forward to that match. Because in the last few years of us doing this show, you've always said that you're not the biggest fan now of like chaos matches like that. So Are you looking forward to the tag team ladder match?
I am, but I don't think we're going to see as much crazy stuff as you expect. Like, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, because we're watching the same thing.
Yeah, I just, I don't. It's,
you know what we're not going to see? We're not going to see the Dudley Boys.
No, we're not. And we're not going to see the Hardys. Thank God. We don't need to see either one of them. So let's get back to here. I know you're talking about Io Sky and how you're a big fan.
I'm a huge fan of Io Sky. Obviously, I love what they're doing right now with the what's their group called?
I'm Damage Control.
Damage Control. Yeah. Thank you. I love what they're doing, Damage Control, because I'm a huge Kairi Sane fan, as always. Me, you know, coming from a Japanese wrestling love and loving some Stardom. But anyway. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, though. This is going to be fun. It's another rivalry of WWE loves to do this formula, and as much as I love to knock it, it works, and it's really well done 99% of the time. You know, you form a group, someone gets out of the group, that pushes a storyline to get a opportunity to get a world title. It's happening with Evolution. It's happening with Judgment Day, maybe. It's happened with this. I mean, it's happened all over the business, but WWE has found a great way to normalize that formula and make it happen. I think it's really well done in almost every instant.
Who do you think wins this match? You think Bayley goes over, or you think Io Sky retains, maybe with the help of Damage Control?
I mean, Bayley will probably go over, but you know, it's one of those things too. WrestleMania doesn't always have. Their titles change. They don't always have their titles getting changed, even though that's sometimes what we want to see. If you booked an event or you booked a pay-per-view and all your baby faces won, or all the people that everyone was over won, God, what a boring show would that be?
Because you'd be able to know everything that happens, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's pro wrestling. You're not supposed to know what's happening. You know, that's when I know I just contradicted myself there when I said about whole Drew and Seth being predictable, but I did also add in that pro wrestling is unpredictable. And when you see these fans that say like, it's all predictable. I know exactly what's going to happen. And it's never like that because it's pro wrestling. And that's what's amazing and adds into the magic of pro wrestling. I think Io Sky is, I will say Io Sky goes over here.
I think you're gonna see Damage Control try to interfere because they will have lost night one. I think they're gonna try to interfere and cost Bayley the match, and I think you're gonna see Bayley get backed up by Jade Cargill, Naomi, and Bianca Belair, and then you're gonna sort of finally get to see that, like you talk about hugging it out, where like Bianca gets it now and understands like Bayley, you know what Bayley was trying to do and where she is now. And that's how I think Bayley goes over with the help of those that trio.
I'm so glad that Mercedes Moné signed with AEW because I saw a lot of people that was like, oh, the four horsewomen are coming back to back up Bayley, and I was like, wow, that makes no sense. But
Charlotte's hurt.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So is Seth, and he's in the main event.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure. Rod everything, Rojas.
He means everything I said.
Everything that you said is true.
Everything I said is true. That's what happened.
All right, let's go to this. Let's skim over this next match. We've got the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits taking on the Final Testament, Karrion Kross and Authors of Pain. Listen, I think this, and I hate that Michael Davis wasn't on to talk about this because I sent him a text. I think that they sort of dropped the ball with the storyline. They're trying to push this rivalry between these two factions, if you will, and I just don't find myself interested in it. Like, the Street Profits, one of the hottest tag teams in the world, you think they're gonna put them with Bobby Lashley, make a new Hurt Business, and it just doesn't seem to be going that way. Karrion Kross gets brought back. They don't put him in his BDSM gear this time, so he's got a shot this go round. They bring in Authors of Pain, who I'm a huge fan of. But it, again, like, it's one of those things, like, at some point they got to win something in order to make them interesting. And all they've been winning is beating up on Lashley and the Profits.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you when you say that they have to win something to be interesting. R-Truth hasn't won a thing, and he's one of the most interesting things in WWE.
He wins matches.
Has he won a match? When's the last match
he won? The qualifier to get into the tag title match.
Before that.
He was like the 150 time 24/7 champion.
24/7 champion? That doesn't count.
It sure it counts. He was getting wins. I guess he got to carry. I
will correct myself. I did forget that he won the qualifying thing. Michael Davis's point. It's a great time for R-Truth to finally win. I mean, you know, I always say that wins and losses do not matter in pro wrestling at all. But that'd be a great thing. It was almost like with another example is Curtis Axel, him losing but somehow still over.
Yeah.
Get back to your point. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who do you? I mean, you talked about not really knowing about the LA Knight AJ Styles storyline. Did you know about this storyline, or you just kind of?
I didn't even know this match existed. I will say that I would rather go out to the like desert that's like 2 feet from me and try to watch grass grow than watch a Karrion Kross match. I think that dude is. They've tried so hard with him, and it's just boring. That being said, I love
that.
Oh, he's awful. But
he's a nice guy. Come on.
You could be nice and bad at your job. I got plenty of them at my store. hopefully, no one from my store is watching this show.
I'm sharing it.
Right. I'm not friends with anybody at work. Thank God. Store manager, too. That'd be bad.
taking a dump on your entire team.
No, not all of them. Some of them are really good, but like.
I've been binging Superstore, so all I can imagine are the actual like losers in Superstore that are completely dumb, and that's who you're talking about at your own store.
I will say that the other day, one of my grocery guys was like, "Hey, I'm gonna go take a break," and I said, "I gave you a break when I hired you."
that's so funny. All right, so you're not looking for.
Don't worry. Before you guys call like the workers people, like he did take a break. He went over next door and got a Kit Kat. All right, so.
If you had to pick a winner, who would you rather see win this match?
The Pride. I think Street Profits and Bobby Lashley are a great mix. I love that we're getting tag teams here because we have to give everyone a paycheck for WrestleMania, and I love it. We're going to get the six woman tag that you mentioned earlier. We're getting this. I love the more people we can put on the pay-per-view so they can get a payday. I'm fine with it. I don't believe in like, that's too many people in a match. I love AOP. I love the name, the Final Testament. It's so metal. And then the bell rings and Karrion Kross starts wrestling. And then it's like a ska event. Don't like it. But I love Bobby Lashley's Street Profits and I love AOP. I can't wait to see Bobby Lashley because he's such a freak. I can't wait to see him like pick up, not both at the same time, but just Samoan drop both members of the AOP. So good.
Well, we're running a little late tonight. We went long in night one, so let's kind of move it along here. You talk about guys getting a payday. That's what Logan Paul's getting here, the United States champion.
Great segue. I've missed your segues.
I'm glad. You're welcome. What can I say except you're welcome? I busted that out on the football show last night.
Log out here.
He's like Ryan can finish the show by himself. Logan Paul defending the United States Championship against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Do you think that Logan retains, or do you think that I don't think that Randy Orton walks out as a United States champion, but do you think Kevin Owens finds a way to win the title?
No, Logan Paul wins because Kevin Owens and Randy Orton beat the hell out of each other, RKO out of nowhere, and then, I don't know, Logan Paul, the shooting star press out of nowhere on Kevin Owens, throws Randy out of the ring and then hits him. That's how you get Logan Paul over at WrestleMania.
So I'm going to give a shout out once again to my friend Rob Brown over on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate here in Greenville. He also made a comment that Logan, well, he and Lonzo, his producer and co-host, talked about the fact that this is going to set up a program with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And that's why Logan Paul goes over. I don't want to see Logan Paul retain. I would potentially like to see Kevin Owens win the U.S. title and Sami Zayn come out with the Intercontinental title. And like I mentioned about night one, and you get where they come together and like a la Eddie Guerrero or Chris Benoit, since they had their moment winning the tag titles last year, now they get their moment as individual champions at WrestleMania. So I'd like to see Kevin Owens win, but I'm with you. I think Logan Paul takes it. That brings us to the main event of night two.
That's all the matches in night two?
Yes. Yeah.
Huh.
At least that's what it shows right now. Unless they move some stuff around, night one is loaded and night two has got like five matches on it. So unless they move some stuff around. And again, that world title match with Rollins and McIntyre might go long because you're going to get a cash in out of it. So nevertheless, we've reached the main event. We don't know the circumstances surrounding this main event, whether all the members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside or if we're going to see Bloodline rules as Roman Reigns defends the championship against Cody Rhodes. This match is a year in the making, a year plus in the making. Everybody thought that Cody was going to get the win last year. He did not. And we've gone this whole year about how Cody is going to finish his story. It actually started the night after WrestleMania when Brock Lesnar attacked Cody Rhodes. And then Cody Rhodes had himself a year until he won his back-to-back Royal Rumble. Listen, PJ, it's probably an unpopular opinion. It's definitely an unpopular opinion. We could see that because we were supposed to get Roman and Rock, and now we're getting this. I still don't think that Cody takes the title off of Roman. Now, they made a comment on Monday Night Raw this past week that Roman would tie Hogan's record going into WrestleMania on Sunday. But if you look at the record books, that's not true. He wouldn't tie Hogan until the summertime.
Yeah.
So having said that, do you think Cody finally finishes his story? Or do you think Roman takes this championship into the summer as your undisputed WWE Universal Champion?
It's tough. I gotta be honest. I love that we're getting Reigns and Cody. I'm so glad it's not The Rock. I know we get him in a tag team match. You know, thank the maker he's finally wrestling a match. But yeah, I think if Reigns goes over, you know, it'll be the same old spiel. The Bloodline helps, all this noise.
Yeah.
If Cody goes over, it will be because The Rock betrayed Roman Reigns. Because let me be real. I'm fine with The Rock coming back to do the thing. What I thought was dumb was he's coming back for a world title match.
Yep, because, we said that. Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
Yeah, just because he's a cousin of the champion. I mean, using that logic, Horace Hogan would have been main eventing Starrcade against Hulk Hogan. What's the problem? What's the problem? It's the same thing.
You can't compare Horace Hogan to Roman Reigns.
I sure can. They both can't work.
No, you cannot.
No, they can't work. Roman can work.
I didn't
compare Horace Hogan to Roman Reigns. I compare Horace Hogan to The Rock.
That's worse. What are you talking about?
What do you mean that's worse?
Real quick, Mama Frick in the house. What's up, Mom?
What's up, Mom? Hey, Mama
Comparing Frick. Comparing Horace Hogan to The Rock?
People have been comparing Hulk Hogan to Roman Reigns for the past year because of the title streak. I can compare Horace Hogan to The Rock one time. They wrestled about the same amount of matches.
I remember why we haven't recorded in so long.
Because I make fun of my coworkers. I make fun of the people I manage. And,
So having said that.
If Cody goes over and The Rock betrays him, we just set up a full year for The Rock and Roman to go at it at the next year's WrestleMania. And you could do that without The Rock coming in and cutting a promo. You could do that because they did that with Cena and The Rock.
Yep.
You could do that. I'm fine with that. I don't think The Rock is here full time, not even close. I mean, I think he's filming a movie in like a couple months, yes?
In fairness, he is on the board for TKO now, the parent company that owns both WWE and UFC. Matter of fact, they are going to host an NXT event at a UFC venue.
I get that. So there's a difference between, so I guess what I should start saying is full-time contract because
like full-time wrestler, full-time performer.
Contract. There's a different reason. There's a different, contracts for, you know, the Jerry Jinn, who's on the board for TKO. He doesn't have a wrestling contract.
There's a reason why The Rock is allowed to say you're not going to F with the final boss.
Yeah.
And curse all over Monday Night Raw and SmackDown because he's the boss. He can do it.
Sure.
You know?
And it also does show the and we know this forever. We can go on a whole 2-hour show about this. But it also just shows the fickle brains of some fans who applaud that. But Tanahashi, who is now the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, wrestles at Wrestle Kingdom, and all of a sudden, oh my God, he must have booked himself. And it's like, oh, well, I couldn't. I mean, come on, man. But no, I'm fine with The Rock doing what he's doing. But people have to admit that he is part time right now. He's a part. He hasn't wrestled a match. He's done the mic work. I know he's been training, but training does nothing. Wrestle a match. So,
all right. Back against the wall. Who wins, Roman or Cody?
Cody.
Yeah, I think. Listen, I'm going to say the opposite.
I could see both things, but I'll say Cody for the sake of being on.
When I was with Michael Davis, I said that Cody and Seth are going to go over night one because they both lose on night two.
That makes sense. It does.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think that there's going to be some, you know, Michael Davis mentioned potentially Tama Tonga comes to interfere, even though he's not technically bloodline related. Which is why he would be able to be ringside to interfere in this match. But you're going to get some
because he's the same skin color as Roman Reigns. He has to be on his side. God, no. Now I remember why I haven't recorded with you in a long time.
No, it's there was interaction on social media with Tama Tonga calling out Roman Reigns.
I would love to see Tama Tonga in there. And Tonga Loa, his contract is up pretty soon too. And I would love to see the GOD in... I would love for Roman Reigns, you know, if Jimmy and Jay come back and become a tag team again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Roman's like, well, no. I found my own dogs. I found my own gorillas. And then here comes
G.O.D.
G.O.D. Oh my God, how great would that be?
That'd be phenomenal.
I would prefer Tama Tonga or Tonga Loa in WWE than TNA or AEW right now. Yeah. Because they deserve to be featured hardcore. Obviously, it's about what the wrestler wants, not about what the fans want. But yeah.
We're running a little late. Appreciate everybody for sticking on a little later. So that being said, final predictions, match of the night for night two. And do we get any other surprises on night two that you might not be expecting to see?
Well, there's only five matches, so maybe they're saving room for some part timers, some legends to come out and hi, we're here. We're going to go back to where we're from now. That's fine. I think match of the night could potentially be AJ Styles and LA Knight. Maybe you're right. Maybe the dark horse is going to be Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I'm digging my thought process that we finally get Priest cashing in and not just cashing in on Rollins, but he's going to cash in on McIntyre because of all the times that McIntyre screwed him out of the title, he's really going to get to put it to McIntyre and it's going to set up a program. I love that idea. PJ, we've reached the end of the show and the curtain call. We didn't really discuss the curtain call off the air, but the curtain call, we're just going to kind of give final thoughts here going into WrestleMania weekend. Do you have any plans? You're going to go watch the show anywhere? It's going to be early for you considering you're out closer to the West Coast now. You got any fun traditions when it comes to WrestleMania?
I always try to grill out, cook out. I've got some wings that I'll marinate tonight for Saturday. Probably going to do burgers and hot dogs maybe on my grill, or maybe I might smoke something too. I usually do a big cooking thing. But no, we just hang out and I drink a lot and I eat and watch wrestling. I'll be watching the Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. And then tomorrow will be Stardom and Stardom and GCW. And then Saturday, I don't know if I'll get up early enough to watch NXT. Maybe I'll have it on the background for Stand and Deliver. And of course, Saturday night, Sunday night will be WrestleMania. But I try to get on I try to watch all the indie shows too. I watch those a little bit closer, especially my New Japan, my Pro Wrestling Noah, things like that. But no, I'm looking forward to another terrific week of pro wrestling, another WrestleMania weekend, WrestleMania 40. Woo! It's going to be good.
We are officially here. Mama Frick wants to know where her invitation for food. Mom, if you want to go out to New Mexico, by all means.
I'll pay for your flight. Come out here to New Mexico. One of the best decisions I made was moving out here, man. I miss a lot of my friends, and you know, there's some places I miss, but the weather here, you can't beat it, and everything is relatively terrific here.
Well, I think I can speak for everybody because we had a lot of viewers tonight, and I cannot thank X more for all the people that were viewing us on X tonight. It has been a ridiculous turnout. It's a fun weekend ahead. I talked about it with Michael Davis at the top of the show. Not just WrestleMania this weekend. You've got UFL football this weekend. Baker Bill and I talked about it last night here on the show. You've got March Madness. The Final Four is this weekend. If I'm not mistaken, the Masters is also this weekend. A lot of fun stuff coming this weekend. Whatever it is that you decide to partake in, do it responsibly and enjoy, but also enjoy yourselves. Wherever it is that you're watching this, if you haven't already followed, liked, or subscribed anywhere we're at, go to facebook.com/tapouts and touchdowns. Make sure you follow us on there. We go live there every Wednesday for our football shows. And as you can see, we're live for our first wrestling show this week as well. You're already watching this on X, but if you haven't watched it on X or if you're listening to the show afterwards, go follow on X at tapouts and TDs. We want to get some followers up on there. So we've got some room to grow over on X. And then YouTube at tapouts and touchdowns. Where again, these shows go live on there as well. I'm not sure what else to add. Don't miss WrestleMania this weekend. Whether you do something Saturday night and catch WrestleMania night one, Sunday prior to WrestleMania night two, like that might be how I do it, going and watching WrestleMania night one just before night two. But this has been a blast. It's been a long time since we get to talk wrestling on the show. And to catch the Cat Cave with Michael Davis, Shannon Smith, and I as well. Make sure you come back and listen to Banker Bill and I talk more UFL next Wednesday. And then we're probably going to do a WrestleMania review show. So make sure you come back and join us for that as well. For Michael Davis, for PJ Steven, it's your guy, Bully Rye. And we'll see you next time right here on Tap Outs and Touchdowns.